You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The New Zealand Police Association have demanded better protections for officers, including faster access to firearms and working in pairs. This has come after violence against officers has increased in recent years, especially from firearms. I spoke to President of the Police Association, Chris Kahu, about the demands and why these are needed. To start, I asked him to outline the protections officers have called for.
Well, the real issue we have at the moment is the number of firearms that have been used by criminals, not just against police, but against members of the public, and the willingness of those people to use them. So our members are increasingly feel at risk from this and want to be generally armed. What they did wish to have earlier was armed response teams, so trained experienced officers who could be deployed quickly in the community when these incidents happened. Unfortunately, they were withdrawn. So it's leaving police with very limited options for their safety. So if they can't get something along the lines of armed response teams redeployed, it leaves them with little option but to be generally armed themselves.
So specifically, what are the benefits that either armed response teams or individuals being armed?
Well, the reality is when you're confronted with a firearm, there's very limited other options you can take to safely resolve that issue. What the value of armed response teams was, these were highly trained officers who were experienced. They were able to deploy quickly because rather than being the current system with armed offender squad who have to be called out and take sometimes more than an hour to get to an event, they would be working and on the ground ready to deploy straight away. They were then able to take control of these situations and look at a variety of options to resolve the situation. So that's the advantage of armed response teams. Obviously, the advantage of having a firearm on you at all times is when you're confronted with a situation that you weren't expecting a firearm to be involved in, such as a routine traffic stop, which are some of the most dangerous things police officers become involved in, they are able to protect themselves with that firearm immediately rather than have to try and get it out of a lockbox in a vehicle, which is impractical if confronted with a firearm with no warning.
Is this a direct response to recent events, or is it something that officers have called for a long time?
It's been building up for many years. It probably reached a sort of a change in views of officers in 2009 when we had multiple officers shot and killed in one 12-month period. And the most highlighted of the most well-known event being the siege in Napier where Len Snee was killed. But we also had other officers shot the same year. That sort of brought about the push for general arming on a much higher level. And the use of firearms since then has just continued to grow. And the real change is the willingness of criminals to use firearms and actually pull the trigger, which has increased dramatically in the last 5 years.
So how come, if there has been the increase, especially recently, have government and the police force not armed officers more frequently?
Well, there is a lot of what we call temporary carriage orders issued. So they are when a specific threat is known, such as there might be an armed gunman on the loose, or if there's an offender who has made direct threats and is known to have firearms out there, a temporary carriage order is issued by district commanders that allows officers to arm themselves. But in general, there's big resistance from both government and the senior managers in police to generally arming as a matter of course. And a lot of that is based on lack of research or a misunderstanding of the level of risk that actually is posed out there. And as I often say, it's easy for people like myself who are not out on the streets at night taking these risks to say they don't want officers to be generally armed, but the reality is it's those officers who have to face these ever-growing risks.
Yeah, because some of the opposition is along racial lines, with many saying that there are disproportionate impacts of policing on different groups, as Māori are 9 times more likely to have a dog set upon them than Pākehā for similar incidents. If police do regularly carry guns, will this not make impacts on Māori much more severe?
Well, I think those are the issues that need to be understood in this debate. I mean, we have to be really clear that the issue of Māori overrepresentation in a variety of statistics, such as the ones you quote, aren't necessarily driven by how police approach things, but are driven by other issues within society, the failure of education system, the family violence that these people come from in the first place, our drug addiction problems, our poor mental health outcomes for New Zealanders, and police are at the front line of having to deal with these things. But they're factors to be considered without a doubt, but we also have to remember that Māori and Pacifica are well overrepresented in the victims of crime. And it's very often it's Māori and Pacifica who are the people who are being injured, assaulted or threatened with these firearms that police are then called to deal with. And those victims also have the right to the protections that police could offer if they were armed.
So how then, if police are armed, would they aim to make sure that the use of firearms is equally spread and not disproportionate among different groups?
Well, it's that unfortunately life doesn't work like that. You can't say this week we're going to only deal with Māori, next week we'll deal with Pākehā. You know, the fact of life for policing is they have to deal with what is in front of them. So then it's a matter of understanding what is contributing to some of the disproportionate statistics that involve Māori and Pacifica to a slightly lesser degree and being overrepresented in negative statistics in the criminal justice system. And that's where police have begun a research project with Waikato University to understand those issues. And there's three areas they're looking at there, which is who police stop and deal with, the use of force by police, and what people are charged and what they are charged with. So it will be very interesting to see what that research leads to. But for a frontline police officer today, the reality is they've got to deal with what they're sent to and what they find they're confronted with. And that's why they feel they need better protections than they can.
But the statistics I quote there related to similar or the same incidents where Māori more likely to have a dog set on them even though they've committed the same crime or they're charged with the same thing.
No, I don't support what I say those statistics purport to is the number of Māori and Pacifica who police interact with is overrepresentative. And that is what society needs to look at. Why are Māori and Pacifica overrepresented in crime stats? Why are they overrepresented in victimisations? If police are going to attend assaults, for instance, and we know Māori are much higher representative as the victims of those assaults, then it stands to common sense that they will also be overrepresented in the offenders for those assaults. So it's a much wider society issue than saying police are making these decisions based on race. They're making the decisions based on what they have to attend because that's where the calls for service are coming from.
On a slightly different note, if police do become increasingly armed, is there also the issue that the public will increase their gun use to counter these protections by officers?
Well, I think that horse has already bolted. I mean, daily now, media are getting reports of firearms in the hands of criminals. We're seeing even more of it. I mean, you see the high-profile ones that make the headlines, but over the weekend, I've had 6 or 7 different reports of officers dealing with offenders who've had access to firearms, either in their vehicles or in their houses, just metres away from being able to use them if they wanted to. And that's the reality, genie's already out of the bottle, unfortunately. So many people have access to firearms.
And finally, are there any alternatives to arming officers? Is there anything else that the police force could do instead?
Yeah, well, I think the first thing and the most successful thing we could do is to get better trained officers out on the street with better access to firearms, working 24/7. So something along the lines of armed response teams, which were unpopular in certain communities. But if we explain what they're actually trying to do, which is make the community safer and also protect police officers, I think they have some real potential. So that is officers with the armed offenders type skills, but deployed 24/7 rather than having to be called out.
That was was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.